And hello again. This is Reverend John Marinelli. Our third podcast will deal with self-defense. Being a handgun owner is certainly about self-defense. You know, we can collect them, we can go target shooting as sport, and, you know, have all kinds of fun with them. But the main purpose we buy weapons is to defend ourselves and our family. In this podcast, we're going to look at six different considerations. The first one is situational awareness. Do you know how many people walk around in their own little bubble and they have no idea what's going on around them? If you're carrying a gun and you're concerned about what is happening, you know, that there may be a shooter or there may be something going on where you need to know about, then you need to be aware of the situation you're in. My wife is from New York and she says that's just being street smart. So a good self-defense begins with watching and knowing your situation. Carrying a loaded firearm is not meant to give us power. It is not supposed to give us a sense of egocentric euphoria. What it does do is provide an opportunity to protect our families and ourselves. Carrying the weapon concealed or openly does us no good at all, unless we are thinking like the bad guy and planning ahead with countermeasures that are designed to keep us safe. Okay, the second consideration in self-defense is a home safety inspection. And we talked about that, you know, in our first podcast. And part of that inspection, of course, you're checking your front door for a deadbolt and you're doing all the things that we talked about before. But I think about safety and self-defense, and here's what I do. I have a burglar alarm that's monitored. I have two big dogs that bark at everything that goes by, and I have weapons. Now, as a Christian, I have one more thing that maybe normal people don't. The Bible says in the Psalms that the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him to deliver them. So in my thinking of interpretation of that scripture is that the angel of the Lord comes round about me because I love God and reverence him, and he sets up his camp. And so I have a bunch of warring angels all around me. Places around our homes or in our community have been broken into, but not ours. And I think it's because the angel may just get the dogs barking, or he may just, you know, push these people away. Well, there are deterrents that work. I call them burglar deterrents. Visible windows and doors is one of them, so you can see what's going on. Lock your doors. Super important. Some people leave their doors open and wonder why they've been broken into. Get a home security check if you need to. Install a burglar alarm. Security cameras can work. Motion active lights. Nearly 70% of burglars enter homes through a door. So if you install a thick one, solid wood doors that will be hard to kick in, you're ahead of the game. Safe and secure, that's what you want to be. The third consideration in self-defense is to learn from the mistakes of others. You should consider, you know, who's made mistakes and what's happened, and you can Google that and find out. Then you should plan a strategy based upon past criminal statistics. I say that because as I looked it up, 1/4 of homeowners, that's 25%, acknowledge leaving the front door of their home unlocked. Many homeowners tend to leave ground floors, 35%, or second stories, 34%, windows unlocked. Now think about that. 35% of the burglaries, there are windows that are unlocked on the bottom floors. Most home evasions occur between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. 4 out of 5 burglars use social media. Burglars take less than 60 seconds to invade your home, and the first place they look is the master bedroom. Okay, the fourth consideration in self-defense is muscle memory. And muscle memory means it's just like when you study your times table. You say 2 plus 2 equal 4, 2 plus 2 equal 4, 2 plus 2 equal 4. You say it over and over and over again until it gets into your head to where you can say it without even thinking. And that's the memory exercise that you do when you practice, when you think about how you're going to react in a situation. It's how you aim. It's everything to do about the success of defending yourself. Is everything goes into muscle memory. It's not just a passing thought. The fifth consideration is planning your defense. If a home invasion happens, what are you going to do? Are you going to run? Are you going to shoot? Do you have a bat, a knife, a gun? How are you going to protect yourself? Where's your family? Do you have a point where they're going to run to and hide? What about the dogs or the cat? You should have a plan, and that's important. I would think you should avoid searching for an intruder. Don't go looking for him. Let him come to you. Come up with a simple code word that your family will recognize in an emergency. And then they will know, oh, I got to take the escape route that we talked about before. And I would think you should have a safe room. You designate a safe room. This is where everybody goes. So we know we're not shooting at any family members if we have to shoot. Make sure your safe room locks from the inside. Because you can be accurate in shooting. If two or three people come in and you're fighting them all by yourself, you may not have time. But if you're in a safe room that locks and you've called 911, you can just sit and wait it out. And should they break through the door, they're all coming through one central point. You can shoot every one of them. Turn out the lights and remain silent. Stay as silent as possible. You don't want to give away your position. Remember, at night, if they're breaking in, it's going to be dark, and they'll be looking and may not see you. Always avoid calling out to the intruder. Never say, I've called the cops. You better get out of my house, because you're giving away your location, and they could just start shooting in that direction. Call emergency services as quickly as you can. Get on that phone and call 911 and tell them what's going on. Choose your position in a safe room strategically. If you're going to defend yourself, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be shooting from? Side, center, forward, back? Make sure you know where you're going to be, that you're protected. Remain in your safe room until the police arrive. That's important. Make sure your entire house is checked by the police. Sometimes, when things happen like that, when there's a burglary, one of them may just be hiding because the police came too quick and he couldn't get out of your house. Make sure they check every room, check every place where somebody could hide. The sixth concern in self-defense is actually using deadly force. We know that the castle doctrine, which we've already talked about in podcast 2, is where you can stand your ground and you're allowed by state law. You can shoot an intruder, and all you have to feel is that you're threatened with deadly force, and you can shoot him dead. But do you want to? Is that what you really want to do? The intruder is in your home to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is there bringing grave danger and serious threat of violence. The intruder has a deadly weapon of some kind. It could be a gun, a knife, a bat. The intruder will use deadly force to prevent capture. Drugs are most likely being used and sought after, or money to buy drugs, or products that you own that they can take and fence and turn into quick money. The intruder is a burglar bent on doing evil. If you understand that, he's not the good guy. He's not, well, you know, that's just a teenage kid and I shouldn't try to hurt him. But then you just let him hurt you. And that split-second thinking could save your life. How you perceive the intruder makes all the difference in the world. If you fire your gun, you keep shooting until the threat is over. So if you pull the trigger, pull it 1, 2, 3 times, and then stop to see if the threat is over. If he's still moving, shoot him again until he's not moving. That's the rule. Because the body can absorb bullets. And, you know, you hit him once and he may just still keep coming at you. In most cases, the intruder's only about 6 to 10 feet away by the time you're ready to shoot. Do you know how fast he can move 10 feet to try to attack you and get you? He could shoot him with a bullet and he could still be moving at you. So don't be afraid to keep shooting. Now, I have some thoughts of a burglar that I thought were pretty cool, and I put it in the book. If you could listen in on the thoughts of an intruder, here's some of what they might be thinking. Okay, they left this window unlatched. It's an easy access. Good, there are no dogs. I don't want to get bit. Great, the front door is not a solid door. I can kick it down easily. Damn, they have a burglar alarm. Maybe they forgot to arm it. Newspapers building up must be away. Good target. This house has high bushes. I can hide there if I need to. Hey, no blinds or curtains. I can see into the house and what's inside. I hear the TV. I can't break in now. I wonder where the master bedroom is. That's where the jewelry is. Maybe the front door is unlocked. It was at the last place I robbed. Knowing some of what an intruder thinks will help you devise a plan to secure your dwelling from being a target. This concludes Podcast 3. We'll pick up self-defense in Podcast 4 and continue our discussion.